Well, if you're, we recognize and honor our veterans this morning, but I want to say again, thank you so much to our veterans that are members here, that attend, that come, maybe just happen to be here. We want to say thank you, thank you. If you did not get a gift this morning, if you'd see us afterwards, me or Brother Daniel or one of the ushers, then we would certainly get you one of those. It's not much, but just a token for us to say thank you for your service to this great nation. I love the land that God has allowed us to minister, worship Him in, and what a joy to live here. Well, I want you, if you would, to look at 2 Timothy chapter number 2, and I want to preach a message that we'll entitle Strong in Grace, because we'll see that phrase in verse 1 of chapter 2, 2 Timothy, and that's how we're supposed to live. We are supposed to be strong in grace. Verse 1, 2 Timothy 2. Thou therefore, because of all that the Lord has put forth in the verses prior, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Now, I'm tempted to bring out in verse number 2 the part where it says, the same commit thou to faithful men, and I certainly will some other time, and maybe have. There's a big meeting that Brother Tom Cole was going to in Murfreesboro, the Sword Men's Meeting, that trying to get men to pass on to the next generation of men those things that were desperately needed. The things that are desperately needed, of course, found in the Word of God. But it used to be not uncommon at all in our nation for young boys to be taught how to be men by their parents, and or by their fathers rather, and grandfathers. And then if for some reason they were taken off the scene, then other men in their lives would do that for them, and we're certainly losing some of that. But I'm thankful that we have a church that's trying to do this and trying to see others that will commit to faithful men the things that have been committed to them. But I don't really want to preach necessarily from that. I want to draw your attention to verse number 1, where it says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We've got an interesting contrast here, because it says we're supposed to be strong, but what we're supposed to be strong in is grace. And usually we don't think of grace as being that strong. Typically we'd think of it being more soft and a little bit more fluffy and a little bit more calm. One definition for grace is this: the divine influence on the heart and its reflection in the life. We know grace is unmerited favor of God that He gives to us, but one true applicable definition is that divine influence on the heart and its reflection in your life, meaning that when you live your life with grace, he's living a grace-filled life, or she is a very graceful person. Nobody walks out after being yelled at and maligned about something, and they don't walk out and say, boy, that lady's got a lot of grace, doesn't she? Nobody walks down through the halls of the church or the halls of somewhere else or school or a business and somebody just ignores you and turns the other way and won't talk to you. Boy, she's a really graceful lady, isn't she? Nobody thinks that. Nobody says, wow, that man exhibits a lot of grace under pressure. Well, grace is where it comes from, that working in our heart, that's in the influence of our heart, but then we only see it when it's reflected out in our life. Well, grace can be defined in varying ways, but that's one way that God works in us. And we don't, though, oftentimes connect it with strength. Be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. You know, I've got police officers in my family and some here as well. But I'm thinking about this one. I don't know about all of them, but I know the ones that I've been closely related to, they have a problem. And one of those problems is it's easy for them to get cynical because they're always seeing the bad side of everything. Our little burg, Jackson County, West Virginia, which is where I grew up. And one of the officers, one of the deputies in our church, Pastor North, said, oh, isn't this a sleepy little town that we live in? He said, you'd be surprised what goes on in Jackson County, West Virginia on an average weekend. And same would be in Washington County or Johnson City or wherever you live. And the danger that these good folks that serve have is that if they're not careful, they always look at the negative side of things because that's what they're called on. You know, when you're getting along good and your wife, you just kissed and you're making something on the grill and you're bringing it in, everybody's happy, the kids are playing in the yard, after a while they're going to go to bed and nothing's going to happen, they don't call Scotty Carrier. Don't call him much right now, I guess, but somebody, one of his people underneath of him. But when you get in trouble and you get struggles are coming and people are fighting and people are screaming and people are throwing things, then that's when they get called in. So that's a danger. Well, the same thing happens with us in life because although we're not police officers, we do sometimes see the bad side of things. And as you get older and you realize how things really work, it's easy to get cynical. But we find that as we live our lives, I find anyways, it's easy to get strong in the rules. Well, that's what we said had to be done. You think about a school that operates and you put down, this is what it is. These rules have to be followed, and they do, or else you have chaos, and so you have to have it. But what happens is we find it easy to be strong in rules, and we in our Christian life, if we're not careful, we find it easy to be strong in self-sufficiency. Well, I made this happen, and I did this, and then we add some spiritual things on it. Well, I was faithful in my giving, or I was faithful in my serving. Because of that, then these good things happen. It's easy to be strong in guidelines. Well, I give these principles, and because I made them and I set them, that things worked out good for me. It's easy to be strong in all those things, the rules, the guidelines, the guardrails, and all that. But sometimes it's hard to be strong in grace. So I want you to think about these few things as we look into it. First of all, I want you to see that we're supposed to fight to keep the divine influence in our lives. That grace is that divine influence, God working in you, and that grace that's given to us by God Himself. We ought to fight to keep that influence in our world, or in our life rather. It seems strange that we would have to fight to keep gracious because God did do such a great work in that in us. Since Jesus came into my heart, and some of us gave the date or the summer or the whenever it was we got saved, you'd think it'd be simple for us to keep grace alive and well in our hearts. But sometimes we as Christians, we can get cold and we can get stiff and we can get indifferent and we can be mean and vicious and unkind to people. We ought to fight to keep it gracious. We ought to fight rather to keep gracious. But I thought before we start fighting to keep that, let's look at a few reasons why we're not gracious. And these aren't in the scriptures right here, but it's just common sense. Why is it that we lose sight of the grace that God did in our lives? First of all, I think self-sufficiency. We start off in grace. We know that there's no hope for me except I come to Jesus Christ and we got saved by the grace of God. And then you got into a good Bible-believing church and that preacher, he stood up there and he says, there's some things you ought not to be doing. And you stopped doing the things that he said you shouldn't be doing. There are some things that you should be doing. And you started doing the things that he said you should be doing. And you started doing that and you started getting a little successful, so to speak, in your Christian life. And you started thinking all these things are working good. And then before you know it, you think the process that you developed got you successful, not the God that put the grace in your life. Self-sufficiency. If we're not careful, we start counting on ourselves an awfully lot. And folks, God loved you before you even thought about Him. He loved you. Sometimes people think that, God really must going to have to bless me. God really must love me. He's going to really be happy with what I've done here. He's going to be so proud of me. And we certainly should try to please the Lord. But you understand that there are Christians that believe that God loves them because they toe the line or because they do this. God loved you before you even started thinking about doing anything good. You're not where you are because, wow, you've done so much and now you've impressed God. You are where you are. If you're saved, you are where you are because God loves you and He loved you. But that self-sufficiency fights against that grace that we're supposed to be strong in verse number one. Not only that, but hard-heartedness. Whether it's because of disappointments in your life, whether it's because of tragedy, whether it's because you've been mistreated, maybe somebody did you very, very wrong, and you were so right in what you did, and they were so wrong in that, and we get calloused. There was a Christian artist in Nashville back in 08, had a little 4 or 5-year-old girl, I don't remember the age, but right there close, and she had asked her dad, said, well, is it true that Jesus is building us mansions in heaven? He said, well, it's what the Bible says. And she said, I want to go there. This was in about February of 08. Later, just a few months in May, her 17-year-old brother, older brother, was driving in the driveway, was running over to his car because she wanted him to help her get up on the monkey bars. He didn't see her coming and hit her. Life flight her to Vanderbilt Hospital, but she didn't make it. And when Christians experience these things, just like unsaved families, Christians experience these things, and because of the heartache and because of the heartbreak and because it weighs so heavy on us, we can get hard-hearted. I don't have to ask you, because everybody would be able to go to somebody. You know somebody who they are a hard-shelled person because of some of the events that happened in their life. And you may be one of them. This hard-heartedness. This is where we need to fight, as the Bible says, to stay strong in the grace. Remember what God has done in your life. I know that there's been tragedy, and I know there's been heartache, and there's been disappointment, and people have mistreated you, and people have done you wrong, and they've done all of these things to you. It just seems like sometimes you get a dump truck poured on you. But my friend, I'm trying to tell us, as the scripture says, that we ought to be strong in the grace that God has given us in Jesus Christ. But not only that, the third thing of why we would get hard is our worldly ways. Quite simply, it's just we take the world's ways of retaliation. Well, what do we say? Well, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. That's one of those little sayings that people think sounds good, but it's nowhere in the scriptures. We also say things like this: well, I may forgive them, but I'm not going to let them do that again to me. And I understand you have to protect yourself and your family. I'm not saying that. But we can get calloused. And we can have that heart and that attitude that's not fresh and not kind and not gracious, where we get our word gracious from is grace. But we're going to have to fight to keep that divine influence in. Paul is used of God to write to Timothy. He's going to tell him in a few verses, you're going to have to fight like a soldier. But before you fight like that soldier, you have to be strong in the grace that God has done in your life. Fight to keep that divine influence. Look at verse number 2. Not only that, but we're going to have to keep recruiting for the faith, for the fight. As I mentioned, the same commit thou to faithful men, the same what? The same things that I've taught you, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same. Continue recruiting for the fight. The fight to keep grace preeminent, the fight to keep our message of the gospel still going forth. You know, there's a great danger when you get old in the faith and you get calloused and you get hard and you start thinking people somehow deserve what they've got. Listen, my friend, before we start saying those things out loud, let's not hope that everybody in this room gets what they deserve, because we're so thankful for grace. But after we got in on grace, if we're not careful, we'll get old and calloused and cantankerous, and we'll not want other people. We'll say, well, they get what they deserve, and I'm thankful I didn't get what I deserve. But the Bible says that I ought to continue recruiting for the fight that's in there. I ought to keep recruiting for the fight that the faith that God has given. I ought to do that and recruit them to be strong in that grace and that message that God gives. I pastored the church in Ohio before we came here. And the founding pastor would come through once in a while. He was an evangelist and still is. And he would be so happy that the church was continuing and it was growing and things were going on and victories were won, because he had a desire from God to start that church. And after he left, he had a desire for it to go on. I haven't met the founding pastor of this church. One of these days, maybe in heaven. But I know that that desire of that man would have been for it to continue. But the only way that something like this continues is if you continue recruiting for that fight, and that fight is so that we can be strong in the grace, and that grace has got to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's not good enough. You just say, well, keep being faithful and graceful. Keep being kind, gracious, because there's lots of folks that are around there kind and loving, but they're not in the fight for the truth as well as that grace. And so we ought to keep recruiting. But in all that we do, again, look down in verse number 3. We see that Paul's going to tell him to endure hardness as a good soldier. He's going to tell him, thirdly, to battle correctly. As you're being strong in this grace that's in Christ Jesus, you're supposed to battle in the right way. No man that warreth, verse number 4, entangleth himself. meaning you don't get all involved in the affairs of this life. They may please him whom hath chosen him to be a soldier. Sometimes I think we're wrong when we say, well, my life is so rough. The Christian life isn't as easy as I thought it would be. God called us soldiers. No soldier, as we honored our veterans, no soldier says, well, I didn't sign up for this. Well, it doesn't matter. You signed up to be a soldier, and so you signed up for those things. And God calls us soldiers in the battle for the Lord, and sometimes it gets rough on those soldiers. But if a man strive, verse 5, for masteries, meaning that if he tries to win the victories, yet is he not crowned, meaning he won't win the prize, except he strive lawfully, meaning that he battles according to the rules. So I take us back to where we began about that grace being that divine influence on your life. We start off this evening by different people giving testimonies of when they came to faith in Jesus Christ. That's when I put my faith in Christ. That's when God did a work in my heart. That's when I got saved. Well, that was an act of grace. That was a work of grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, the Bible says. So that grace did a work in your life. I want to ask you this before we leave tonight. Are you letting that grace continue to work in your life? That unmerited favor, that divine influence on your heart that's showing itself out to the world that we live in. Because I'm not so worried about how good of a Christian you act like right here or out in the hall or out in the parking lot. I was so blessed this evening. I was getting ready for a meeting, and I was in my office working on a few things, and I heard kids out there outside in the parking lot must have been throwing ball, playing, doing different things. It was a wonderful thing. So it might have been outside, might have been inside, might have been somewhere. I'm not so worried about how gracious we are right here, because most of the time we hit that fairly well. But God wants our grace to be reflected to everybody that we see this week. And that's where it's going to be the real test of how strong my Christianity is. If I accidentally run into you out here in the lobby and we bump into each other and I say, I'm sorry. Oh, no, that's fine. Fine, Pastor, sorry. No worries. Well, I'm your pastor and you're a church member here and I'm going to be nice to you and you're going to be nice to me, right? We are on the same page there, right? Yeah. I was making sure. Some of you kind of worried me. It's like, I ain't planning to be nice to that person, no. Well, we're going to be nice out here. But that's not my concern. What about that person that bumps into you at work? And they're clumsy anyways, and they always kind of mess up your projects. How are you going to act toward them? What about that clerk that checks you out and it's taken them 3 years to get a job that should have taken 3 minutes, and you're just thinking, I don't have time for this. How gracious am I going to be to them? Well, the scriptures tell me I'm supposed to be strong in grace. I'm supposed to be, again, we don't connect those two. Strength and grace don't seem to go together, but they do when God's in the equation. We're supposed to be strong in that grace that is in Christ Jesus. Because of what happened to you, those that said your date that you got saved and those of us who didn't say the date that we got saved, if you're saved, though, and you know the Lord, then that did a great work in your heart, and that grace that God put into you is supposed to be reflecting to everywhere you go, regardless of how many years ago it happened. We're supposed to be strong in that grace. It's about like a corporation that takes their employees back to their mission statement again and again and say, this is what we do. We're here. This is who we are. This is the foundational document of this company. This is what we do. I saw one emblazoned on the back of a semi the other day, their mission statement for the corporation that was being, the truck or trailer rather, that was being pulled across the nation. And there was the mission statement. This is what we do, basically. Well, we as Christians, we are supposed to have the grace of God that did a work in our heart, and we may need to be like those corporations that take their employees back to the mission statement. We need to be taken back to the mission statement of us to say we're supposed to reach the world, and the way to reach the world is to show them the grace that has been divinely shown in our own life and then reflect it to everybody else, because most of the people that you and I interact with this week, they won't read their Bible this week because they don't know Christ. Many of the people that we know that we'll meet this week, they wouldn't know how to get saved. They wouldn't know who the Lord was. They wouldn't know all those things. That's why God put us in the places that we're going to be this week, to reflect the grace that God has put in our lives, and we are supposed to be strong in that grace. John chapter 1, verse number 14 says we're supposed to be full of some things. We're supposed to be full of grace and truth. Now, Jesus was the perfect balance. He would take a person and tell them to, I don't condemn you, but then tell them to go and sin no more. There was that truth and that grace. We're not the perfect balance, but like everything else in our lives, we're supposed to be modeling ourselves after the Lord Jesus Christ. So if I'm talking to somebody, you've got grumpy and cantankerous, and you're always looking on the negative, you're never looking at what somebody could be doing, you're not living a grace-filled life, I'm asking you tonight to give that unkind spirit, give that wrong way of looking, I'm asking you to give it over to the Lord and ask for His forgiveness. Because you are supposed to be living your life, as John said, in grace and truth. So Paul tells Timothy in this passage to fight, be strong, but fight in grace, that divine influence. There's some folks that I know very, very well that they have a wonderful, strong position on almost everything, but they are so hateful in how they tell it that they'll probably impact very few people. I wouldn't want anybody, and I don't want anybody to say it for me either, I wouldn't want anybody to soften the message of the Scripture. The Scripture says what the Scripture says. And we aren't going to change it, and we never have, and we aren't going to start, but we will do it with grace. And your life should be built around the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as it's built around the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to fight that fight in grace. Continue to recruit others, but battle correctly, as the Word of God says. So as I told you, police officers in the church and police officers in my family, they have that danger of getting cynical. Because they're not called when things are beautiful, they're called when things are bad. And they're not called on the sunshine, they're called on the storm. And if they're not careful, they'll start looking on the negatives of every situation. They'll come into a room and start assessing. That's how they're trained. And if we're not careful, we as Christians, we'll get in some of that same way. We'll start nitpicking things. Well, I know what they were thinking when they did that. Can I just give you a little secret? Whenever you say, I know what she was thinking, or I know what he was thinking, all you're saying is that's what I'd be thinking if the roles were reversed and I was in that situation, because you really don't know what they were thinking when they did what they did. But we've been pretty good at saying, I know why they did that. They just did that to get noticed. They just did that for this reason. We get cynical. And I'm asking you tonight to be strong, yes, but be strong in that grace. Because we've got a world to reach. We've got people that we're going to see this week. They need to see a real, graceful Christian. And if we just walk around cynical, hateful, and vindictive, and cantankerous, we won't be the witness that we need to be to those people. So it said it clearly. Be strong in the grace, and that grace is in the Lord Jesus. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I ask you, dear Lord, to help us. This was an aging preacher from jail cell telling a young preacher how he ought to stay on the firing line. And of all the things that he told him, Lord, you give us your word like that. Told him, be strong in that grace. Don't forget what God you've done in his heart. And help us not to forget either, dear Lord, I pray. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. As they play, has it been a while since you've revisited what God did for you when you got saved? Has it been a little while since you've just rehearsed how good it is to be born again? Have you been nitpicking about, well, they made a mistake on that. They did something wrong over there. They did this. Have you been spending all of your time about those things instead of just going back to when God saved your soul. I think that's one reason that we get so calloused, we get so cantankerous, is because we don't go back to Calvary and revisit how blessed we are to be born again. Be strong, my friend, in the grace that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and God has singled some things out in your life, my friend, you ought to do business with the Lord. Nothing like a good confession to the Lord. Say, Lord, forgive me. I've been cantankerous and cranky and irritable, ugly, vindictive, hateful, whatever else. Forgive me, Lord. Help me be strong in the grace. Maybe you're here tonight, not sure that you're saved. My friend, we've been praying for you. You may be a member of the church, but you're not sure, as folks were giving their testimony time about when they got saved. I don't really know if I ever did that. My friend, this is the night to get it settled, get it solved, get it nailed down. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Whatever your need is, this invitation time is when you need to do business with the Lord. Maybe you need to be baptized. Lord willing, we'll baptize someone Wednesday. And you say, well, I might as well. Now is a good time as any. You'd like to come get ready for that on Wednesday too. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge. Whatever God's doing in your heart, let's not leave here but without doing those things. If you're able to, would you stand together with us? Brother Kyle and Brother Daniel down here at the front. Maybe you need somebody to pray with. They'd be glad to do that. Maybe you just need to come pray by yourself. The altar's open. I'm afraid that we don't use the altar as much as we should. You say, Pastor, I don't have to come down there. And you don't. That's right. But some of the best decisions of my life have been made at an altar. I invite you to come. If you're here, you're not sure you're saved, would you come down and let somebody take the word of God and show you how to be sure of that? Well, as we get ready to head out, I'm going to ask Brother Daniel to come and lead us in that song that one of the first ones we start off with, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart. It's the 590 men upstairs, but we're going to go back to that time, go back to Calvary. Well, a good way to do that is just think about when Jesus came into my heart. This will be our going home song. We'll sing it, a verse or two of it, and then we'll be dismissed after that. But thank you so much for being in church. Look around. Isn't this a wonderful crowd on a Sunday night? Thank you for being part of it, and I'm grateful for it. I hope the children had a great time getting ready for that pageant. And if you want some more information about that, you missed it tonight, then see one of the staff, and they'll help you out with that. But we're excited about what this season that we're getting ready to enter into. I don't want to make anybody mad, but there's a big Christmas tree in my living room. Not that you'd be mad about the Christmas tree. You might be mad about the timing of the Christmas tree, because some people have given my wife a hard time that it's not supposed to be up there before Thanksgiving. Amen. Well, see? Elijah, go to Japan. Yeah. But don't be upset with her. She's just trying to get a head start on that. So, all right, Brother Daniel, come lead us in this going home song.
Let's sing that first verse together in the chorus. What a wonderful change. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought.